Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
One thing we pride ourselves on here on Kaya Biz is not only that we make business entertaining, insightful, and informative, but we also make it relatable. And this is where we invite you to do the show with me. Earlier this week, you might have heard us in conversation with a key industry leader talking about Wills Week. Now, this week in September is known as Wills Week. And for anyone in the country, you quite literally have an opportunity to walk into an attorney's office or speak to your financial advisor, and they can draft a will for you for free. I got a question on this on social media, and tonight we are responding to this to actually say, well, at developer_RSA, yes, this is legit. And the reason why we have this conversation is because for many of us, we know two things in life are guaranteed: death and taxes. And the truth is, taxes also affect your death. And without having an appropriate will, it makes it very difficult for you to identify how your assets should be split, how it is that your wealth is preserved, and even managing to ensure that you wind up your estate by paying the necessary taxes that might be due, and then ensuring that your loved ones are able to continue with life as you would like them to. That brings us to our conversation today, where we have our Wills Week wrap. Tonight, not only are we going to just get a refresher of Wills Week, but we are also responding to some of your voice notes that a few of you shared with us earlier on in the week. Simon, Onika, and Sbonelo will get to your voice notes, but you can also join us by ensuring that you push through your voice notes on any questions related to Wills that our guest might be able to respond to. For that, our guest, who brings about a dynamic sense of energy, but most importantly, steeped in a great understanding of the legal framework, is David Thompson, Senior Legal Advisor at Sanlam Trust, to give us a gentle reminder for the 3 in 4 South Africans who do not have a will, this conversation is for you. David, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Guguletu. Good evening, and it's great to be on Kaya Biz.
Fantastic. I'm excited to have you with us, and also great to see you. I can tell that you're incredibly passionate about your job, David, and that's because you've been doing this as well for a while. You've seen some stories, you've heard some scenarios.
Been around, yeah. Thank you.
And yeah. I'm sure you've had to help quite a lot of people out in terms of, you know, managing their affairs when it comes to adequate estate planning and drafting a final will and testament. Many South Africans often, we either laugh it off, or we brush it off and we delay it, or we are like an ostrich and we put our heads in the sand. But to use a case in point, the circulation of articles around the late former Deputy President David Ramaphosa and the fact that he's seeing his estate being challenged. So we all need to prioritize this. So maybe a gentle reminder as to why wills matter.
Wills matter, really, because then you can take control of your future and the future of your loved ones. I think it is so important for peace of mind. We know that our survey showed that most South Africans, the vast majority, know it's important and want to do it, but then only a minority get around to it, which means that the rest of the people must be stressing out. It must be very worrying that they know it's important, but they simply haven't got around to doing it. So, yeah, that from that point of view, from an emotional, psychological point of view, it's a good thing to do. And also just so that you can say, look, I've nominated this person or this particular company. I know them or I trust them. They're going to wind up my estate. We've discussed what the fees are going to be. And I've told that person, and it's in writing, and I've signed my will to say this is who I would like my things to go to. And beyond that, it's more than just that, because a lot of people will say, well, I don't have much, but we all have something.
Yes.
You know, we can all have something to leave a legacy behind for our children and their children, no matter how small it is.
I'm glad you emphasized that, because a lot of my colleagues earlier this week were saying, but what if I don't have a job? What if I don't have big assets like a property or a car? What's the point then? Is it still worthwhile getting a will?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, even if you pass away just with 50 rand in your bank account, no one can access that money, or no one can access that property or that motor car unless you have an executor or administrator appointed. So at some stage, somebody from the family is then going to have to approach the Department of Justice, the master, and get a person appointed to wind up the estate. And it's quite stressful. So that applies whether it's a small estate. And for smaller states, there is a cheaper and simpler procedure that the law provides, or if it's a bigger state.
Gotcha.
All those estates, if you want to unlock the money in that cryptocurrency account or that little bank account or that fixed deposit, You can't do it unless you've got a piece of paper, unless that person has a piece of paper to say, I'm an executor, I'm the administrator of Dave's estate, and here's his will, and that's what I'm going to do.
100%, so important, and I'm glad you mentioned those small accounts, because that is actually where it matters most for most families. I'm looking at the outcomes of the Sanlam Legacy 2025 survey on South Africans and our wills, and it does highlight that only 66% of South Africans do not have wills, and there's a different level of, I guess, reasons as to why. We've spoken about keeping our heads in the sand, but I also find that a lot of us as South Africans find it intimidating, right, with the language that's used, understanding the tax implications, and even the challenges that come about from it. Maybe talk us through that and give us an understanding as to how it affects all South Africans, regardless of our income level.
Yes, it does. The research does show that there are certain pushbacks and having some sort of fear or trepidation, also thinking it's going to be very expensive, or thinking that you need to be very wealthy. But the fact is, a lot of the research also shows that the majority of people have heard that it's important to have a will, and they've seen the consequences of someone passing out without a will. And as we even mentioned now, I don't know whether the late deputy president had a will or not, but these sort of things that come into the media, you would think it would spring people into action. But just like one of those voice notes I heard earlier, I was quite disappointed that that one person wasn't able to find someone to do a will for them, even during Wills Week. So, you know, as we've often discussed at work, we've got to try and make the process simple. A will does not have to have flowery language.
Yep.
It's not a contract. It can be as simple as saying that I, David John Thompson, appoint Guguletu as my executor. I want to be cremated, and I leave all my worldly goods to my son, Joseph, and sign it. And this, and you know, so it doesn't have to be anything fancy. You can draft your own will if you want to. It's got to be signed and witnessed by two independent parties. But I would recommend that you approach a company like Sanlam Legacy to get your will done professionally. And it doesn't have to, there's no fee to charge for the will.
Yes.
But obviously, to wind up the estate, the executors will charge a fee that is laid out by statute. But as I said earlier, whether you're rich or poor, big or small, or every estate has to be wound up. So at some stage, someone is going to come in and do it and going to charge a fee. You get the occasion where there might be a family member who steps in and agrees to do it for no charge, and that's wonderful. But I think once you've done one or two of those in your life, you don't want to do another one, with respect, because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Having lost a loved one and seeing my father go through that process, it's extensive.
Right.
And for anyone,
it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's very emotional as well. If you're part of the family as well, you sort of want someone independent, someone detached to do it, you know, so that you can focus on nurturing the family and picking up the pieces and not have to worry about all the legal stuff. And it can be a little bit, the process, the will itself is not complicated, all right? The Wills Act hasn't changed much over the years. It doesn't have to be a fancy document. But winding up the estate can be a little bit tricky.
Yep.
So for someone who has assets of 250,000 Rand or more, you need to get an executor appointed, and there is a slightly more complicated procedure. For 250 or less, you can approach the master as the next of kin and be appointed as administrator. And there's a lot, it's a simpler process to do it. And the fact is, the vast majority of estates that are reported to the master are small estates. So you know, I would encourage people to put a will together, because it really doesn't have to be complicated. It would be better to have a will than not to have a will.
Yes.
Because if you don't have a will, the law steps in and tells you how your estate is going to be divided up. And also, you don't know who's going to wind up the estate. And you could find that your stuff ends up going to people you didn't want it to go to in the first place.
Exactly. David, I'm so glad you emphasize on these points, because it makes it practical for us to understand how things really can evolve as we perhaps prepare for death and, of course, with our wills.
Yeah.
David, I tell you what, we want to make sure that we get as many voice notes in as possible, because quite a few of our listeners had questions. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick breather and an ad break now, just to keep the lights on in our building. And then we'll come back with a few voice notes from Simon and Sbonelo. Happy to take a few other voice notes that might come through as well regarding any questions related to wills. Share your questions with us. David Thompson, Senior Legal Advisor at Sanlam Trust, is joining us to help us understand some of the intricacies and maybe even some of the basics of making sure that you prepare care for your world. 063-688-0959. That's where you can share your voice notes to. A reminder, 66% of South Africans do not have walls. So if it's not you, it might be your friend, maybe your colleague, maybe even your partner. But do make sure that you listen to this conversation when we come back to ensure that you get the fundamentals in place and prepare your will.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
As you've heard before, it is Wills Week. It is coming to an end, but tomorrow you still have an opportunity to go into an attorney's office or speak to one of the leading financial services providers in South Africa to assist you out with a will. We emphasize this because 66% of South Africans do not have wills. If it's not you, it might be your friend, your colleague, or a loved one. So we do want to emphasize the importance of this. Before we started off the conversation tonight, I was speaking to David Thompson, Senior Legal Advisor at Sanlam Trust. He's still joining us on the show tonight to help us fully unpack details of the Sanlam Legacy 2025 survey on South African wills, but also responding to key questions that we as South Africans do have. A few of you have shared your voice notes, and Simon has one that is lined up for us. So David, let's take a listen to what Simon has to say. I believe it's related to marriage contracts, but let's get clarity on his question.
You know what, this subject that you're raising today about wills is a very interesting one, and I've got a question about it. So how do marriage contracts affect wills in general? So for instance, let's say I'm married in community of property and I do not leave anything to my spouse. How does that work? Also, for all other types of marriage contracts, how do wills impact do wills have an impact on marriage contracts in general?
Simon, thank you so much for your question there. David, a very pertinent question. How do wills impact a marital regime or marriage contract? Do they intersect and influence each other at all?
Absolutely, they do, Guguletu. It's very important that when we engage with a client to find out, are you married or living with someone in a permanent relationship? And if you are married, did you execute an antenuptial contract, which would mean that you're married out of community of property? Essentially, the default regime for South Africans when they marry, either the Marriage Act or Customary Marriage or the Civil Union Act, is in community of property, which means that you only have the right to leave half of the joint estate to your heirs. So in other words, if you or I were married in community of property, mm-hmm. and I was to say, I leave my house to my son, Bob, effectively, my house is only half of that house. Because half of the house automatically belongs to you by virtue of the community of property. So you've got to be careful of that. Also, it's not a good idea at all if you do execute or sign your will to leave your spouse out completely, because your spouse will have rights in terms of the Maintenance of Surviving Spouses Act to claim against your estate. So even if he or she is not married to you in community, which would mean it's all 50-50, they could still claim against the estate. So it is important as a married person or someone who's living in a permanent relationship with someone to bear that in mind. When you do your will, yes, we've got freedom of testation, but you've got to consider your spouse or life partner. Mm-hmm. And that's where advice from a financial planner would be invaluable in that case.
A key theme is also if someone can actually prove that they're dependent on you. So if you're sending them...
Oh, yeah. Got you. Absolutely. So that relates more to pension benefits.
Got you.
So the pension, general pension benefits don't fall into your estate, which is... So pension benefits is important then to nominate your dependents, mm-hmm. your children, your spouse, whoever you want to. But bear in mind that if you have other dependents who are factually dependent on you during your life, they can claim against that pension fund. So your estate, which would be your house and your car, and maybe your fixed deposits and furniture and stuff like that, is one thing that your will deals with. Your pension fund, your will doesn't actually deal with the pension fund. The pension fund is a separate animal,
yes.
Which is protected from creditors, which is largely also protected from divorce, give or take. There are exceptions to that. And there you must make sure that you nominate your beneficiaries. But you have to consider that whatever your nominations are, if you do have factual dependents, they could still claim against the pension fund.
Sure. Got you on that one. David, yeah. Let's take another voice note that's come through from Sibonelo with a critical question around living in different spaces.
Yeah, I've got a South African will that's in place. You've just reminded me, I need to sort out my UAE will for my assets in the UAE. Yeah, because they apply Sharia law there, and that's very different. Like, and that can cause lots of problems. Yeah, Shai short ride, Konamanja. So when I go back to the UAE in a couple of days, I'll definitely go sort out that will. Thanks for reminding me. I'd actually forgotten about it. Good show, thanks.
Thank you so much, Sbonelo, for your voice note. Sbonelo is certainly one of those South Africans who's a global citizen. And this raises, I guess, questions on individuals who stay in different jurisdictions and regions. How do you prepare your will? Which one takes precedence? Which one is prioritized?
Look, if you are residing in South Africa and you have a will prepared here and you sign it here in accordance with South African law, in other words, it's in writing, you sign each page, you have two independent witnesses over, you know, who are of suitable age, and your will is valid worldwide. The problem is, as he pointed out, there are other countries around the world that don't necessarily recognize our law. Mm-hmm. So I've always said it's a good idea if you do have assets in other jurisdictions, rather engage with an attorney or solicitor in that jurisdiction and make sure that that will complies with the law of that particular country. Mm. So although your South African law does have worldwide enforcement, you're going to have obviously a problem with countries that don't have the same civil law as us. So I think he's on the right track that he's going to engage with a person in that jurisdiction. Mm. So just be careful if you do have more than one will, say one will in Mauritius, one in South Africa, just make sure that the one doesn't cancel the other. Because a typical standard clause in a will is I hereby revoke and cancel all previous wills. Mm. So you don't want to go over to, where's he now? He's going to Dubai.
Yes.
And then do a will and then by accident revoke his South African will. He just wants to make sure that he has a will there that says this will is only in respect of my Dubai assets. Mm. And then have his South African will, which is only in respect of his South African assets. Just be careful of that if you have more than one will.
Got you. That also takes us to, I guess, a question that I want to follow up on, which is updating your will. So often, as family members grow older, life evolves. Perhaps some children who were dependents are now completely independent. Yes. Maybe a spouse has passed away and it's time for them to review a will. What needs to be taken into consideration there regarding the wording and maybe just even acknowledging the fact that everyone should be aware that there is an updated will?
I think it's important that your loved ones are aware that you have a will and where it is. They don't necessarily have to know what's in the will.
Yes.
Although I would encourage people to do their estate planning with their spouse or life partner. I think the two of them, you know, should really share their wishes and their intentions to make sure that they're compatible with each other. If a person wants to update their will, effectively, the best thing to do is to do a new will, revoking the old will. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if a person has got married or has had children, or maybe is retired and things have changed in their life, maybe it is the right time to do a new will. So I would encourage people to do a brand new will rather than just tack on, an amendment to the old will. That's probably not a good idea.
Tell us why.
I think sometimes you get confusion, incompatibility between the two documents.
Okay.
It's just a lot cleaner. So, for example, if a person passes on, it's just easier if they have one document recording what they want to intend in life. We've had a few cases where we've had to read two or three wills together, which makes things very, very difficult. Mm. But I would just encourage the person to just do a brand new will. There isn't any cost for the will, well, certainly not with Sanlam Legacy. You could make changes to it. Preferably, you don't really want to have a will that's got things crossed out and little initials here and there. It does look a bit messy. So I would encourage people to do a brand new will. It's not going to cost you any extra.
100%. We've got another voice note that's come through as well from TP. Let's take a listen to this one.
Regarding the will and drafting of a will, my question is, and then who then becomes the executor? Is the company becomes the executor, or I can choose my own executor at the end of the day?
Great question. The selection of the executors, how is an executor selected? Is it within the company or organization you have a will with, or do you select one yourself? Maybe talk us through that process and what needs to be considered when actually selecting an executor.
So client must select who the executor must be. In general, for example, if Sanlam Legacy prepares a will, then we will be nominated as the executor, as the professional trust company. But clients are free to appoint their own executors. Just be careful, though, if you do appoint someone or nominate someone in your will. Remember, the appointment is done by the Master of the High Court. So I will nominate my sister, for example, as my executor. But it might well be that on my death, my sister approaches the Master of the High Court to get the certificate, and he says, but you're not a lawyer. You're not an attorney. Okay, I'm not going to appoint you unless you get the assistance of an attorney or a trust company. And you also might have to put up security, which you can't afford. So just be careful if you appoint a layperson. That person may or may not be appointed by the master and might then have to engage the services of an attorney or a trust company anyway. But you occasionally get joint executors appointed. So someone might appoint XYZ trust company and their spouse or and their brother. That can also work. Although effectively, when you look at it from a practical point of view, normally the work is all done by one entity.
Yes.
So, for example, if we take up a joint appointment, we don't share the executor's fee with the co-executor because we end up doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
So just the pros and cons, just the statutory standard rate is 3.5% of your assets is charged as an executor's fee. Sanlam Legacy automatically provides a 25% rebate on that. And there are also certain plans you can take out to indemnify your estate from any cost at all. Obviously, that would be something you'd have to engage your financial planner with. But as I said earlier, you might find that a family member or a layperson is prepared to wind up the estate at no cost to you. But obviously, that comes with risk. Because if it's not an attorney or a trust company, there would be no comeback against that entity or person if, for example, the money was fraudulently misappropriated or something by that person. So one must just be careful of that.
Which is a whole nother conversation there, David.
Yeah, that's a whole conversation. And I'm not saying there aren't bad people in the industry as well, but at least then you're covered by Fidelity Fund cover or, you know, security provided by the trust company. But if you get your, you know, a neighbor or someone, pally or someone you met at the sports club who says, I'll do it, you know, you don't know. You're not around anymore and your family's in a vulnerable position. There are too many stories where people run off with the estate money. So, yeah, so I know it is a bone of contention, I think, with many people to say, okay, well, Dave, you guys will do the will, but then you're going to be the executor. Yes, that is our business.
Mm.
We provide the will, we provide whatever other information and advice is needed. And in return, as people pass on, and most people only pass on after 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, then in return, then we will wind up the estate. So, that's how it works. But you are free to choose your own executor.
Exactly. So, of course, just understanding the level of convenience you want for your life and your loved ones as well in terms of your planning process. So
absolutely,
a lot for us to
consider.
But options are definitely there that can be used.
There are options, yeah.
David, we've got another voice note from Agnes. Let's listen to what she says.
I tend to hear people, they saying that the will that is offered by the banks is different. Is there any distinction with the one that we get from the lawyers that are tailor-made or attorneys? I just want clarity on that. And then which one is beneficial, which one weighs more, which one is more tangible?
Thank you for your question, Agnes. David?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Right.
Look, there shouldn't be, and I don't know of any difference between the will of, for example, a bank and typically an attorney or a trust company. Obviously, everyone has their own style. But when you think about it, Agnes, you know, your will is just generally a will, the document, it's in writing. It has to be signed. Generally, in the will, you will say what your name is, whether you're married. You will then name your children. You will then set out who you would like to wind up your estate. And then you set out who your assets must go to. And if you've got minor children, you would set out who should take care of your children. And you might also set out your wishes in terms of being how you wish to be buried or cremated. Mm-hmm. So really, the format shouldn't change too much. But where the changes can take place is where there's a testamentary trust provided for the minor children. So for people that have children under the age of 18, because in South African law, children under 18 cannot inherit, and their inheritance would have to be paid to the Master's Guardians Trust. You'll get Sanlam Legacy, for example, will provide for a testamentary trust, which kicks in automatically on your demise. And then we are appointed as trustees, and we manage the money, invest it safely, and provide for your children's school fees until they turn 18. Mm-hmm. You will get differences in the way those trusts are set up, with the powers of the trustees, also the fees that are charged. So that's where, you know, it would be good to engage with a financial planner to see, well, you know, I've got this will with the bank or with this company. Is it suitable? Do you suggest I make changes? But there shouldn't be. It's not as if any will will carry more weight with the master. The master of the High Court will check the will. If the will's valid, the master will approve it. They're not going to apply more weight because it's a Sanlam will as opposed to a Joe Bloggs will.
Got you. You know, so yeah. Important. They're coming in thick and fast here, David. So let's move on to a question from Kay that also aligns with the question that many of our other listeners have been asking.
On the issue of wills, I've actually come across quite a few people whose loved ones had passed away, and those wills were forged in some way, shape, or form. How does one prevent a will and testament being forged? Because there are quite a few stories of people having manipulated or changed the will and taken everything for themselves when they were not even supposed to get anything.
Ooh. Yeah, one that brings up a lot of emotions for many families, right? Because where money is involved, there's a lot of frustration. But essentially, how do you monitor any or guard against any fraudulent activity when it comes to a will?
Yeah, absolutely. When, you know, wills will come in either from clients or through financial advisors, and we store the original will in a safe warehouse, fireproof and waterproof and all that, and we make sure that we scan and record a copy, and they're all digitized as well. Mm-hmm. We then check the will, and on the face of it, you know, prima facie, does it look valid? But if behind the scenes it's happened that it wasn't your signature, that it was someone else's signature, or you were forced to sign it by some type of undue duress, we won't know that unless someone in the family comes forward. And I think over the last 10 years or so, you know, we deal with thousands of estates every year, but we have had a few cases where members of the family have alleged dad didn't sign that will, and they produced cop evidence to show that that was not his signature. Or they said, you know, mom was ill, she was in no fit state to do a will then, and they produced documentary evidence. Unfortunately, to contest the will, once a will has been accepted by the master, so we'll take, you pass away, we'll take that will that we quality control when it came in, and it looks like it's a wet signature, it's signed on each page, it's witnessed, it's dated, it all looks 100%. We lodge it with the master. If the master of the High Court says, okay, in terms of the Wills Act, I'm happy that this will is valid, this is the will of David Thompson, I'm appointing Guguleta as the executor, that's it. It's then up to that family member or friend to come forward. They have to go to an attorney, and they have to go to the High Court to prove that the will is a forgery. And yeah, I mean, that's not there is a process to do that. So the only way you can check that your will isn't being forged or anything is to make sure you sign that will and you get it witnessed. The witnesses don't have to read it. You take that will and bring it directly to Sanlam Legacy and make sure that we put it in a safe place. Mm. But, you know, if for example, you pass away and suddenly we get a flood of three or four other wills allegedly signed by you, obviously that would raise suspicion.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised then if one would have to approach the court to say, look, there's a contestation here, which is the valid will. And that's where it's important. Sometimes we've had to get, you know, handwriting experts to give evidence. But fortunately, these are few and far between. But I would imagine it does happen sometime. Yeah.
Got you. Sheesh, we've covered so much, and I guess there's so much more that we could actually explore here, David. But to close off with, we've emphasized the importance of having a will, updating your will accordingly, understanding the intersection of your marital contract and marital regime with your will and how they play an influence, and also understanding the importance of executives. And one thing that you've, I guess, emphasized in all these scenarios, it can be overwhelming, but this is where speaking to a financial advisor can guide you, because everyone's life circumstances are unique. The decisions and choices we want to make are respective and bespoke to who we are. So when one sits opposite an attorney or a financial advisor to say, this is what I need in my will, where do we need to start, or how should we approach that conversation in our mindset that will then influence the outcomes of the conversation and the impact of the decisions taken?
Yeah, I think, you know, if one engages with a financial advisor, I think any financial advisor would be keen to understand his client, to know where his client stands, and to assist the client with a will. You know, if a client is now in a situation where they don't maybe have access to a financial advisor right now, or they're feeling a little bit lost, I mean, the best is to phone Sanlam Legacy or go online, sanlamonline.co.za, and they can find information about wills there. Otherwise, just give us a call. You know, there's a couple of numbers I can give you that people can call, and, you know, they can start the ball rolling.
Sure. David, we'll leave it there for today, but truly appreciate your time. Amazing insight and research that you've given us. And as I've said, man, you've seen many a story, many a scenario, and really appreciative that you can share the practicalities of these themes with us here today. Thank you again for your time, David.
Pleasure. Good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's David Thompson, Senior Legal Advisor at Sanlam Trust. Essentially, this cornerstone of our conversation is set on Wills Week, coming to a wrap this week. And this is data that we also unpacked from Sanlam's Legacy 2025 survey on South African wills, finding that, yeah, we as South Africans have been putting this off for way too long. 66% of South Africans do not have a will. So it is something that we do need to prioritize. As you've heard, Sanlam as one of the organizations that can assist you, but there are a few other players in the financial services space who can also assist you in drawing up your final will and testament. We need to take it seriously, guys. Regardless of your age, regardless of how much wealth you think you have or do not have, whether you're married or single, with children or not, it is something that is critical just to ensure the appropriate preservation or distribution of your wealth. It is 28 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Kaya. Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.